now we're down to B, future meeting planning discussion.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. As a matter of moving through the agenda, I see under agenda item C, Columbia River follow-up. And if that is that summer Chinook matter that we talked about on our last conference call, the end point of that presentation was to be a decision by the commission today on whether or not to have an agenda item on the June commission meeting. And since agenda item B gets into all the various upcoming meetings and conference calls, I wonder if we ought to move up that report from Mr. Warren to agenda item B and maybe even start with that.
Any objection? Hearing none, so be it. Mr. Warren, are you prepared to take the lead on this discussion?
I am, sir. Thank you.
Thank
you. So, commissioners, albeit tardy, I believe Tammy sent out an email to you with a fact sheet that staff have prepared to help us walk through the issues that we've covered over the course of the last month plus. So I'll give you a moment to hopefully bring that up so we can walk through it together.
So, Vice Chair Carpenter.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Nope, this is Baker. While we're having
my apologies,
comment,
Commissioner Baker.
I just have one, maybe a point of personal privilege. I want to ask Jay if he is underwater over there in the Okanagan. I've been worried about you, Jay.
Only about 4.5 or 5 feet in our pasture and our barn, but our house is fine. I have a rental building downtown that has the same amount of water in the basement. So far, we're holding out fine.
Well, 5 feet of water in your basement doesn't sound fine, but they're making a pretty big deal in Olympia over Okanagan flooding. So not that there's anything we can do, but if there is, let us know. And if there isn't, know that our thoughts are with you.
Thank you. I'll send you some pictures. It's pretty amazing.
Okay.
Ron, this is Commissioner Carpenter. You know, we just got this, like, I don't know, Tammy, what, 10 minutes ago?
Yes.
So I don't know that any of us have had much time to focus on it and to fully grasp it. So having said that, I don't know if that changes your perspective or how you want to handle this, but I wish I had a little more time on it. I'll leave it at that.
And Commissioner Carpenter, fair enough. That actually feeds right into what I was going to say, and that I'm going to try to walk everybody through this, give us time to digest it and answer questions. I know it was late. I apologize to the commission for that. What I've tried to do here is to capture the event since the meeting on April 13th, 2018 here in Olympia, where Robert Sudar testified before the commission and asked the question about a large mesh gillnet fishery for summer Chinook in the Columbia. And I've covered the April 13th and the April 20th events. We've just tried to put those in writing so that we had a fact sheet for the commissioners and what responses I've given to the questions that you've had on this issue. I will ask commissioners to turn to page 2, where dated today, May 18th, Fish and Wildlife Conference call, and I will walk through new information relative to that.
Very good.
So the questions, I'm just going to go through this with some detail. Hopefully it won't be ad nauseum for folks on the phone. And if you have questions, please stop me so I can address those as we're going through this. I've also got Ryan Lothrop He is one of the policy leads for the Columbia River to assist me if I step astray. So feel free to ask all the difficult questions today. So the first question we have is, what are the incidental impacts on non-target species and large mesh traditional gill nets during the summer period in comparison to the kind of alternative gear originally envisioned when the Columbia River policy was adopted? We're hoping that if we had been planning to have at least a briefing on this topic since the April 13 meeting in June, and so we had hoped to be able to share more information at that briefing with all of you. Second bullet, when Mr. Sudar was before us all on the 13th of April, he had made comment that he was going to go to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission on the 19th and 20th. He did that. There are a couple of different websites there for folks to listen to the testimony that Mr. Sudar gave, as well as the Oregon Commission responses. The second one is more of a trying to point people to the audio recording instead of the Periscope piece. I had some problems with the Periscope piece, so I've added both of those. If they don't work and you want to listen to that, give me a call and I'll try to walk you through that. It was pretty simple when I did that. But the outcome of that was when pulled by the chair, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission in general indicated that they would be comfortable with looking at providing policy direction for summer commercial fishery using large mesh traditional gillnet fishing gear, but did not take a specific action and were interested in what Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission position is. So I know they remain interested in having a conversation with the commission and understanding that. The other questions, just moving down the bullets, the summer Chinook escapement data, the Priest Rapids adult counts, and what we did is we provided years 2012 through 2017, as well as a 2018 projection, and you can see that we range from 2012 of 50,700 adults at Priest to current day projection of 58,300. So numbers, at least from a Priest Rapids perspective, and a USB Oregon target, are achieving those numbers. I think the most telling thing is the next table and how those then distribute themselves into the natural environment for spawning. And same set of years and total Columbia River run size in that table from 2012 to 2017, a pretty wide range, like most stocks, Chinook stocks of late, and as well as the Priest Rapid dam counts that were there. So moving right in on that table, you see that the Wenatchee, Eniat, and Chelan systems are described there for what escaped to those systems, and then a combined total for the three. The combined total for the three is where we would have the escapement goal of 13,500, and you can see that in those years that we did not meet escapement goal in those combined areas any of the years that we provided data on. In the Meadow, the goal is 1,500, and it's fairly fairly close to the goal or slightly under over, but close to the goal throughout the 6 years that we have. And then the Okanagan with a 2,000 fish goal, that's been a surprise for us. Lots of summer Chinook returning to the Okanagan system.
Question?
Go ahead.
Mr. McKaysey.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Looking at this table, it strikes me that there's quite a few fish left unaccounted. Let me use 2015 for an example. There's a Priest Rapids dam count of a run size of 126,000, then that Priest Rapids dam count of 78,000. And on the far right, if I add up those three streams together, it comes to, well, I don't know, let's round it up to 20,000. So if there's 78,000 going over Priest Rapids Dam and 20,000 in these spawning areas, in between there would be fishery catch by the non-Indians, fishery catch by the Colvilles, but I'm not aware that those catches are really large. So is there main stem spawning, or where else are all these fish going?
So, Commissioner McIsaac, thank you for the question. As I put you on mute as you were asking the question so Ryan and I could speak, you addressed what I will respond as the answer is that there are a lot of main stem spawners that are unaccounted for because of just the pure amount of water and water clarity at times. As we all know, the actual science of counting fish that spawn is sometimes challenging just because of the water quality and what we do. But your observation is one that triggered it for all of us as well of the unaccounted fish. I don't have the fishery information for those years and what might be occurring, but I don't believe it's anywhere near the number that we're looking at of fish absent in the total.
This is Commissioner Graybill.
Mr. Graybill.
We're looking at these numbers and escapement numbers for these tributaries in the Upper Columbia. I think it's important to note, as Ron pointed out, that we haven't hit those goals in 10 of 11 years. Last year was the first time that we felt we had hit at least Washington's numbers of projected escapement needs. The Colville tribe disputes those numbers. They feel those are too liberal. And in early June, the state and the tribe are entering meetings so that we can find agreement between the two agencies on what are the actual escapement goals. And so that's one of the reasons I think that this even this discussion is premature, because we don't have that agreement in place. And so I would just offer that up to commissioners to consider that we don't have what probably is going to be accurate numbers for escapement to the Upper Columbia.
So, Commissioner Thorburn, please.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Mostly a comment that maybe Commissioner Graybill will want to add something to it. As we go through this and consider it, I think we need to keep in mind that we've been hearing from upriver east side fishers about opportunity and harvest and concerns about sort of fairness and in distribution, and it all goes downriver, and it's really the summer run that is their opportunity. And it's these escapement goals that we use for creating that opportunity. And so I think as we, go through this, we need to keep in mind, that what is being requested at this point is, you know, can we take some of that opportunity from the upriver folks, fishers, who are already concerned that they're not getting a fair shake? I don't know, maybe Dave wants to add something to that?
Thank you, Commissioner Thornburn. Those are very important points. And last year was the first time that we allowed the retention of a wild fish. And that was a very small bubble area and a short one off the mouth of the Okanagan. And probably as a result of coming back to the new Colville hatchery. But even that short season was objected to by the tribes, by the Colville specifically. And as Commissioner Thornburn says, the summer run is our opportunity. It was originally in the policy discussions requested that 100% escapement of summer runs go to the Upper Columbia as they originate there. And the policy, when it was originally signed, had no indication of any take on summer runs. Most recent discussions allowed 20% take, but again, on a non-selected basis. And the fisheries in the Columbia, by sport, are selective fisheries too. And to allow a non-selected gillnet season to take even more of these fish would really be met with objection by our Eastside constituents. And thank you, Commissioner Thornburn, for reminding us of that.
This is Commissioner Keeney.
Commissioner Keeney.
This might be a question for Ron, because I'm trying to remember. What is the recreational take, or is there any, of downstream recreational take, Lower Columbia, for the summer runs? Is there any take there normally?
Commissioner Keeney, this is Ron.
You might be on mute, Ron.
I'm back. And thank you for the question, Commissioner. Ryan's going to actually pull the model up quickly so we can tell you exactly what the preseason forecasts for catch were for this season.
And as he does that, the reason I'm asking is we all want equality and fairness in the distribution of whatever fish run we're looking at. I don't disagree with that at all. I think this was asked for, and remember, this is just a decision. Should this matter be placed on the June Commission meeting for further public comment and possible decision for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to see about opening a commercial fishing season. So I'm not afraid of that being on the agenda for us to have a good discussion. But leading up to that, what I'm hearing is we can't give fish to the commercials because another user group needs them. And that's the age-old discussion. So I want to make sure we're including all the user groups in this, and that if we have not created a fair and equitable situation for commercial fishers because of the things that didn't happen, the hatchery didn't happen, the off-channel didn't happen, and the alternative fishing method didn't happen, that would at least make sure that it's now fair with all the users, including upriver, including downriver recreational, and including commercial. So that's, I don't want to have this seem like it's a them versus, you know, one group versus another. It's about equal distribution and fair distribution, knowing what we know now about some of the tactics we thought that were going to lead to, you know, off-channel fishing, hatcheries, et cetera. So I think we've got to keep that in mind. It's not a, I don't want this to evolve into a discussion of, well, if they get more, then they get less. I mean, it's about the resources and what is fair to all of them. all of the users.
This is Commissioner Carpenter. I'd like to comment on that, Jay. And the point that I think needs to be reiterated is the selective fishing aspect of it. We need to point out that the lower river is managed as a marked selective fishery, and that's a difference. That's how it works for the recreational fishery, and that's what the initial policy stated. And so I just think that's important to remember. Non-selective gear is a different dynamics.
I would agree, and I think what was being brought up by Mr. Sudar is that based on the run size, based on the run, the fish, and the gear used for gill netting, that they believe it's more selective than anything that we could steer them towards that we now call selective. So that has to be brought into this decision.
The other point that I'm concerned about is I think this issue is too important, certainly too controversial to handle under the guise of an adaptive management piece. We have yet to review the policy in total, critique it, and figure out how we're going to manage it into the future. And I have no argument about trying to find fairness and balance, but I think we have to review how the policies worked and find out what type of modification and changes we might want to consider in the future before we start plugging in additional significant harvest of wild fish.
Mr. Vice Chairman, Ron, I think we have a little more of the fact sheet to go through before we get into the policy discussion.
And I was asking Ron a question, so maybe he's got the answer to that now for me.
Commissioner Caney, thank you. The answer to your question is that 32% of the fish are allocated below priest and then for harvest, and then that 80% of that is allocated to the recreational fishery. So the 32% comes from the splits from the preseason model based on abundances and the commission guidance.
And then this is Ryan. One clarification on that, it's the allocation is mortalities rather than harvest.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Right.
Small difference, but
thank
it is
you.
Different.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So with that, the projected impacts on the bullet below the table that of the escapements, 708 adult fish caught in large mesh gill nets. That's what's allocated. And the impact of that would be in the table below based on those projected escapements for this year by stock. So when you look at that, 389 hatchery fish, 319 wild, and then the splits from each of the tributaries in the upper Columbia are identified, and what percentage the impact to the run is for each of those segments. The next question was, what is the number of commercial license holders expected to participate in the fishery and the fishery economic yield? Again, it's difficult to identify how many people go to Alaska versus stay home and are available to fish. In the previous years, we've seen approximately 44 landings occur. In a July fishery, average of 2013 through 16, and we can assume that the landings per day would, if that was met, would be 949 fish based on previous year's information. And again, we would want to provide additional information in the briefing to the commission at the June meeting.
8 inch.
Oh, and just so that is based on previous year 8 inch minimum If we went to a 9-inch gear, we'd have to think about what that might do for total landed fish versus what we've seen in the past. So then, what's the number of wild summer Chinook mortalities projected in the Columbia River recreational fisheries, including the selective fisheries below Priest Rapids Dam, and any fishery above Priest Rapids Dam, and how does it compare to the number of wild summer Chinook mortalities projected in a take of 708 total fish in large mesh gillnet fishery below Bonneville Dam that is not selective for hatchery? The wild summer Chinook mortalities in the sport fishery schedule for 2018 are estimated to be 515 fish. This includes sport fisheries from the mouth upstream to Chief Joe Dam. Wild summer Chinook mortalities for a commercial fishery estimated to harvest a total of 708 fish would be 319 mortalities. And commissioners, that would conclude my presentation. At the bottom of that, I have a question in the box for the decision and your debate. Look forward to answering any questions that you might have.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. Question back up in the box of percent impact to run segment. So I see for the Wenatchee, Eniat, Chelan, Metau, and Okanagan a 0.47%. So less than a half a percent impact for all of these rivers taken in this fishery. But I see it 1.18% for wild. And again, this is going to get back to how significant is this wild production that's taking place in the main stem. If I add up the Wenatchee and the Eniat and the Chelan, Metau and Okanagan, it comes to, I guess by my count here, 83. And if there's 319 wilds and only 83 are destined, would have been destined to arrive at these other rivers, it means 236 would be destined to spawn in the main stem or somewhere else. And, it used to be that we had trouble getting the escapement goal at Priest Rapids Dam of 20,000. And now the run has grown up to these much larger run sizes. It makes me think if there's that many wild fish rising from the main stem spawning, that those fish are very successful and they're taking root. But anyway, that's the biggest impact on the table is to these main stem spawners or wherever they're at. So I guess just another question of the health of the summer Chinook wild runs in this area. This hatchery wild split shows only a few more hatchery fish than wild. That's not even a 50-50 for a selective fishery. Am I missing something here that the biggest segment, the biggest wild segment of this run is main stem spawners most likely, and that's the only way to account for 319 wild fish?
So, Commissioner McIsaac, thank you for the question. I don't have the benefit to ask the person to put that table together. My understanding is that your assumption is correct, and that the 319 does demonstrate what would be spawning in the main stem. But I will look into that and have Cammie send another document out when I'm able to answer that question more thoroughly.
This is Commissioner Carpenter. I want to go back here for just a second and ask a couple of questions. The first one is regarding the 515 wild mortalities in the sport fishery. What's the corresponding number of hatchery fish that were harvested relative to that number? And I guess the key is in my view, is to catch as many of the hatchery fish as possible and get as many wild fish back to the spawning beds. And the second part of it is, and I think it might dovetail into what Commissioner Graybill has the department gotten involved in dialogue with the Cobell tribes and consulted and discussed with them this potential fishery change in the lower river?
Commissioner Carpenter, thank you. Ryan's looking up the wild hatchery split question that you had. No, we have not initiated any conversations with the Colville tribe on this issue.
Ron, do you think that would be appropriate or not necessary? I guess depending on what we decide to do, huh?
That's what I was going to wait for, Commissioner. We could call them and say, hey, we'd like to have this conversation with you. Here's the data. Here's what we think it's going to do. Below Bonneville Fishery, certainly not only the Colvilles, but any of the tribes with UNA in Zone 6 are going to be interested and possibly concerned with us putting the fishery in place, and we would want to reach out to not only the Colvilles but the USV Oregon tribes that have that UNA in Zone 6.
Thank you for that explanation. I appreciate it, Ron.
This is Commissioner Grayville again.
Commissioner Grayville.
As I mentioned earlier, the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Colville tribe will be entering discussions in early June on this very topic. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why this discussion and even a June consideration may be premature. As, you know, Commissioner McIsaac, you make a good point on this main stem spawning. We have no science, no evidence of what level that is taking place. Gathering that information is expensive, and it's one of the reasons it hasn't been done. But, again, you can bet that the Colvilles definitely want to weigh in on this, as the Wanapum tribe that also have a UNA fishery. So anyway, there's a lot of questions that can't be answered, probably even in time for this June meeting.
Any other questions from the commission?
This is Commissioner Keeney. I was still wanting to hear that number that you asked for, Larry, on the...
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Ryan's working on that. That would be helpful.
Thank you, Commissioner Carpenter. He is still digging into information, trying to ferret that number out.
I think what the commission should be thinking about is the timeliness of this and whether or not our June 14, 16 meeting is the appropriate time to tee this up. And I guess once we hear from Mr. Lothrop, that's going to be the issue we need to address. So I take that into the table. Mom?
So, commissioners, sorry for the delay. What we have so far is the below Bonneville, and that is 2174, so 2,174 fish kept out of the estimated 515 sport wild mortalities.
Commissioner Carpenter, this is Commissioner Thorburn. I guess I have another question.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you. So Ron, you mentioned that previous commercial fisheries have been with 8-inch mesh, and 9-inch mesh could make a difference in terms of mortalities, but I my understanding is that it's the bycatch that the 9-inch mesh preserves more, but the Chinook, the target fish, is what is non-selective. Is there a difference between natural origin and hatchery fish that might make it more selective for the Chinook itself?
Commissioner Thorburn, thanks for the question. Not that I'm aware. Mr. Sudar accurately testified to is our observer data from last year showed that very low mortality in sturgeon and
steelhead.
Very little incidental impact on sockeye and steelhead with that gear type. That's not to say that we don't have some. I'm just trying to accurately describe and answer the questions that the commission have that came from Mr. Sudar's testimony.
Right.
If I might add, Ron, you said that was 2,400 in fish in recreational fishery below Bonneville?
2,174, sir.
2,170. What would the total be if above Bonneville the fish are caught recreationally in the other parts of the river? I mean, it's a significant bump, I would expect. Maybe you can look that up if you got it available to you, Ryan. And I guess I think the last point that I'd like to add here is that I think this issue is important enough, and in all due respect to the process we went through for a long period of time to create this policy, for those of you that weren't involved, I wish you were. It was a very time-consuming and very difficult and very stressful, but I don't think this is an issue that should be passed on to adaptive management. If this is the direction that the commission wants to go, I think we need to open the policy and do it in the appropriate manner with transparency and public involvement.
This is Commissioner Keating.
Mr. Keeney.
I would tend to agree with what you said, Larry, that it's an important matter, and it's always about, you know, what are the consequences of any decision. And so when the plan was made, you know, with the best available data, with the best science, with the best people working on it, we came up with a plan that was accepted and approved through a good process, public process. All adaptive management is, in my mind, is to look at it and say, did we get it all right? And if we didn't, I would never suggest going against the appropriate public process to make any tweaks or changes that seem to be needed or relevant based on you know, what we expected as that plan was written, and I was there when it was developed as well. So, but it is very important, and people have brought up, other commissioners have brought up some significant things, you know, the meeting with the tribes. This is nothing to be rushed, you know, and I agree that it's going to take some time to make sure we understand all the consequences, whether intended or unintended. If we're looking at this matter, we're trying to do it in an envelope of fairness to all the users. You know, how the fish are distributed amongst the users has always been the question. And do we have it right based on what we knew then versus what we know now about escapement, about run sizes, about fishing gear, about all of those things. So I have no problem with having this be a little more drawn out process to make sure that we're looking at all the aspects, to wait for other decisions by other bodies such as the tribes and in working with WDFW. But I think we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't take the input we have received from the commercial side and give it due diligence and see if there is something that needs to be done or can be done, or on the other hand, it has too many consequences that we couldn't do it. So if that doesn't happen until August or September, you know, this just means another season goes by, but that's okay. We've got to get it right.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Mr. McIsaac.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. When this originally came up, frankly, Mr. Vice Chairman, I was kind of in your camp. I didn't expect this question to even to come up until after the comprehensive review was over. And why was that? I guess, you know, I'm still new at some of this stuff, but I didn't recall a summer Chinook fishery last year and didn't know exactly why, but that's probably why I thought that way. When I look at all of this information, though, now, I guess I would put myself, depending on what other commissioners say after I'm done, in the camp of being in favor of looking at this at the June commission meeting. When I try to ask myself, why would I say no to this fishery after it's been allocated 20%, I've got an idea of what the impacts would be. The impacts have been budgeted all along in the North of Falcon process. And the reason seems to be that they're not being taken by alternative gear, but there isn't any alternative gear than large mesh gill nets to use. And so there's been a little, there's been kind of a compelling argument that large mesh gill nets are going to protect sockeye and steelhead and small sturgeon. And so again, I get back to the question of why to say no. Is there something inherent about large mesh gill nets that's just evil? No, that's not a reason. Should the commercial fishery not be allowed to take these fish they're allocated? That seems to be a little bit of a stretch. Are these wild impacts too great that's going to cause damage to the escapement goals? Well, the conservation goals, as we see here, and the impacts don't lead me to say that that's an absolute no. Particularly the main body of this wild summer Chinook run seems to be growing through time. Not necessarily in these few years here, but when you look through the track record, something positive is happening up there for summer Chinook, and that's a good thing. So I guess, you know, all in all, the adaptive management provision is there. And it kind of says that if things aren't going according to Hoyle, this policy, when it was adapted, should be allowed to adapt to new circumstances. And the biggest thing that's not happening is all this alternative gear. And then this question about, well, what would be the mortality in the commercial fishery if they were using alternative gear? There would be some, if it was beach seines or traps or whatever. What is the gap between that amount and these numbers that we have here? Well, that's a question for June. I do think it's important to hear from the Caldwell tribe. And if we waited until June, we'd hear from them, and we'd get more answers. And I think about our co-managers across the river, they're comfortable at looking at it. And so if we say we don't even want to look at it with a full consideration, including public testimony, I wonder what they might think about that. So anyway, those are my thoughts, and I guess at this point in time, I would be in a position to support having an agenda item in June to hear all of it.
This is Commissioner Graybill.
Commissioner Graybill.
Don, you know, you mentioned that it looks like the summer run fishery is just doing great, growing and all that. But I remember the time, and it wasn't that far back, we did not have a summer run fishery in the upper Columbia. Measures have been taken, and one of those measures was the Columbia River policy to assure the continued sustainability of a summer run on the Columbia River. And again, I just feel very rushed in terms of trying to make a decision based on what we got just prior to the meeting and all the other considerations that come with a challenge basically to our policy. I'm not opposed at all of a review, but I really feel that it would be premature to consider a summer end season at this point. Don, you feel like we should have an answer from the tribe by that meeting date, but those parties are only getting together in early June is the estimate. It hasn't been confirmed. A meeting in early June has been requested by the department and has not been confirmed by the Colville tribe. And they are incredibly essential to this decision.
Any other comments?
Well,
Commissioner Thorburn.
Yeah, Commissioner Thorburn. I am inclined to ask for this to be on the agenda in June. If it were, though, I would like to hear from the, whether it's just a written report or if they can be present either by phone or at the meeting, regional fish managers of the, actually along the Columbia, to kind of hear their perspective in terms of their regional stakeholders. It's kind of been missing from the conversation that we've been having. So that's my two cents.
This is Commissioner Keeney again.
Commissioner Keeney.
After I heard what Don said, I tended to agree with everything, and I would suggest we do have this on the agenda in June. But one of the things in the way it was worded as a suggestion was, that we have we place this matter on the agenda for discussion, notice for public comment, and a decision by the commission on whether or not to delegate to the director. If we change that word to delegate to the director to look into working with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife toward opening a commercial fishing season, the way it's written by delegate almost says, make the decision and off you go. And I think what I'm hearing from all the commissioners is this is a very important issue. I don't think any of us are afraid to hear more information about it and gain more public input to understand it better and the consequences. That's what I would ask for at the June meeting would be, lay out several scenarios of what we would intend to do if we were to open a commercial fishing season and what would be the consequences of those or expected consequences to all the different users, all the different allocations, and all the different run effects on the runs. So with that, I would not be, I would say it's just like any other briefing or information session, and we can decide whether to direct the director to work with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, but there's no decision made. We're still looking for those alternatives to come before us at a later session.
Yeah, so you want to eliminate
the
yeah. I just want to make sure I understand real quick. Jay, you're suggesting we eliminate the word decision in that agenda item.
Well, we would just be making a decision in June. It's like asking the director to continue to work on this and work with Oregon to see what you come up with. But we're not making a decision in June on this. We don't have anything in front of us to make a decision until...
Okay, thank you. We had Commissioner Baker and then Commissioner Smith in whatever order you choose.
Go on. Chair Smith goes first.
I just wanted to say I agree with my esteemed colleague, Commissioner Keeney. I think he laid out a good path for the June meeting.
Commissioner Baker.
I will order forth that. But what I did want to say is, as somebody who has heard a lot and believed every word of it about how difficult this plan was to come up with in the first place, how parts of it have not worked, and how that's affected various stakeholders, it seems to me that what we're doing here, just in deciding whether we have a briefing and a meeting or not, is taking sides and maybe reopening old fights. And what I want to do real clearly, and the only person I can speak for is myself, but every time we talk about this, I learn more, and my opinions shift a bit. So I am very willing to have a briefing that whether we decide anything, and if we do, whether that is under the auspices of adaptive management, is something to decide. So I agree with
the three people before me, my concern is, and always a concern, that we catch the river and maybe work for me.
Commissioner Baker, you're breaking up a fair amount there. Maybe you could repeat that last part of your comments.
Mom? I'm worried about is that we're putting it down the road, that maybe we'll get more information. We're putting it down the road into compressed 2 days. So what I would ask if we do is that we look at you needing very critically for what we have to and what we don't, and jettison or postpone what we don't, maybe even into phone calls like the June 1st meeting that we have enough decisions.
Yeah, listen, Commissioner Carpenter, I'm thinking back to this effort that went forward by some very dedicated commissioners in the past, and some commissioners that are on the call today. In my opinion, this type of an activity does not fit the adaptive management terminology as we used it during the creation of this policy. I think an issue like this needs to be brought forward in a totally transparent and public manner. And I'll leave that as my last statement on it. I have one question of Ron. Ron, at one of the most recent conference calls about this issue, I had asked for an economic analysis of how you rate this, i.e., what are the costs to WFW to manage this type of a quota fishery as it relates to the value component? Has any of that been done, or is that on your screen for some time?
Commissioner Carpenter, thank you. Yes, it's on our screen. We would try and provide a more detailed look at a briefing in June if we got there.
Okay. All right. On this issue, folks, do one or more of the commissioners want to make a motion, or are we just going to do this kind of round table? How would you like to do it?
I think we can just go by consensus.
Okay. Very good. All right. If anyone has no other points to make on the Columbia River issue, then we'll close that agenda item. Okay. Hearing none, we're going back to future meeting planning discussion.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. I'm looking at the draft for the June 14 to 16 agenda that Tammy sent around along with the notice. I'm not sure if that's on the website for everybody to look at or not, but I've been looking at this for a day or two now, and I'll just walk through it from the beginning to the end and offer a few comments. And then maybe a recommendation. So at the beginning, we've got starting at 8 o'clock on Thursday. When we get to that executive session beginning, I thought it would be very useful, like we did before, to reserve the first hour and a half, or maybe even a little bit more, for us to collectively get our complete game plan together before we interview candidates. As we move through this, the 5 o'clock end point caught my eye, and it seemed to me maybe we ought to make that 6 o'clock to allow for comprehensive two-way interviews of the three candidates, as well as a lengthy discussion period where the qualifications of the applicants are evaluated. The Fish Committee meeting, business there, depending on whether or not we want to extend our session on Thursday or not, does seem a little problematic. And the possibilities here might be taking it via a conference call webinar, or alternatively, if people are going to be in town Wednesday evening, to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning on Thursday to hold the Fish Committee meeting at, say, 5 o'clock on Wednesday. And when we're done with this, maybe we can make sure that maybe there's a room for us to do that in. But that would be an alternative that seems to be the superior one for me. When I look at Friday's agenda, I scroll down to items number 17 and 18, the hatchery reform policy briefing and the hatchery scientific review group briefing. The last time we talked about this on a conference call, we had those aggregated. I'm comfortable with aggregating them. I think that we do need to have the HSRG part of this first, and then the discussion of the hatchery reform policy. You know, we've had some discussion about this policy that's been around since 2009, so it's starting to push 10 years. Whether it needs to have some sort of an adjustment relative to the killer whale prey issues that are coming up, relative to the Willapa Bay business that staff presented us with some problems on, and a variety of other things. So I think this is a very important issue. It's been on the calendar for a long time, and I think we ought to aggregate these, change it to a briefing and guidance. I think it's too big of a bite to try to make any serious changes to the hatchery reform policy in one meeting, but I do think some guidance on where to take it from here, and maybe some guidance on what we might learn about recent developments in the HSRG arena would be appropriate. I know at the last meeting when we got into some of the complexities of killer whale prey interactions, at the end of the day, there were a couple of commissioners who mentioned that it would have been nice not to get into that kind of complexity at the end of the day. So I would suggest moving this aggregate of agenda item 17-18 to earlier in the day, say 10 o'clock after the first break, so that we all are fresh in doing that. We had talked about 2 hours for this. I think this agenda item ought to have public comment. It's a very high-profile issue, and I think we ought to hope that we get public comment from the fishing folks, the environmental folks that have been heavily involved in the hatchery standards that are there now, and that if we're going to get to some sort of guidance, that we have public testimony on that. So that leads me back to thinking 2 hours is appropriate. And right now what is on there is about 40 minutes short of that, I think. So if we moved it earlier in the day, then I think we'd have to make some adjustments in these other agenda items to get more time. We've just got the summer Chinook matter that probably is a one-hour type of situation to fit in somewhere. When I look at Saturday, I don't think we ought to try to fit anything in on Saturday. It's got a noon ending. It's got very important agenda items. So it leads me, again, to take another hard look at what is on the agenda for Friday. And I understand that the lands transaction business is something that is there every meeting. And I'm learning more and more about that. I never did quite presume at the beginning that that would be an every meeting situation, but apparently it is. The ADA rule package is a decision thing. I don't think we ought to try to alter that at all. We've got a couple of status reviews here. I know we called for the possibility of uplisting sharp-tailed grouse, so that might be one that's pretty high profile. The pygmy rabbit situation, I wonder if it could be moved to the June 1 conference call. And then I see items number 12 and 13, which are both blue sheet items. I do think when the commission makes a decision to have a blue sheet thing and picks a date, then it's a good thing to stick to that if we possibly can. I did note that the other blue sheet item, delegation to the director, was taken off the agenda, and it had previously been on a Thursday. So there's three potential blue sheet items that, had been on our expectations for June. I'm not sure, though, if any of them are really June critical, and I would probably suggest the delegation to the director thing would be a good one not to have in June because we're going to be deciding on a new director in June. But I would maybe think that 12 and 13 are candidates for delay. Number 15, the Regional Salmon Recovery Organization briefing. I don't know if that's not a candidate for delay. It's not a June critical decision anyway. And so when I move through all of this, you know, it makes me think that the Regional Salmon Recovery Organization's briefing is one that could wait. That would be 60 minutes. And, you know, then one of number 12 or 13 would be another 30 minutes. And then if the pygmy rabbit thing was moved to June or June 1 conference call, and maybe extending the day to 5 o'clock would be a way to fit in the hatchery reform policy, HSRG, in this summer Chinook matter into Friday. So those are my observations.
Before we take comments on those, I also want to make sure that everyone realizes that if we're going to address, which it sounds like we are, the summer Chinook fishery in the Columbia River, and we're going to have the normal presentation, et cetera, then public comment. I don't think we have enough time on their schedule to do that. I don't know how we're going to fit everything in, but I think that's going to take somewhere 2 to 3 hours would be my guess once we advise the public of this issue back on the agenda. So for whatever that's worth, Tammy, I'm sorry to mention that again.
Yeah, Larry, this is Brad. I'm going to have to exit. I have a meeting in town I have to get to by 10. But I just had one thing on the reviews that several of us are doing on the candidates. So for Kim and Jay, the questions, there's no set questions, just however who we talk to want to respond. And I know that I have on my candidate about 8 or 10 people that I could call for references. So I don't know if I'm going to do all 8 or 10, but that's your judgment call. Do as many as you think. So we want to hear what they say rather than a set number of questions. Does that answer?
Brad, I know you got to go, but later here as we bring this meeting to closure, I was going to bring up an enforcement issue, and I talked to you about it previously about an enforcement committee meeting.
Right. Yes,
so if you have any objection to that, tell me now. Otherwise, I'm going to share it with my colleagues in the spirit of putting it on the table.
Yeah, I was going to say that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
On the agenda, I'm fine to leave it in Tammy's hands to put that together. It's worked for my 8 years or 7 years. And is there anything else that we need to cover before? And then I have to run.
Not that I'm aware of, Brad.
Okay. And then I'll talk to you about going down to UW over the weekend.
Very good. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Commissioner Caney, on the agenda, we could take off the Wildlife Committee meeting. I think we've decided to not have one this month and take it back up in August.
Thank you, Jay. And Ron Warren, are you still on here?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps you and I next week could have some discussion about the agenda for the Fish Committee and to see how many critical items we have, et cetera.
I think the only thing that I see, I'd be happy to do that, Commissioner. Anytime next week, I can.
That'd be fine. Yeah, just think ahead a little bit. So maybe if you got 10 minutes, we can talk about it.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay. So,
Commissioner, this is Commissioner Caney again. I was just wondering about your question of if we were to have a discussion of Columbia River Summer Run on the agenda as a briefing. I can understand, or you know, public input could take quite some time. Is it unusual, or would it be appropriate? I don't think we're making any huge decision in June. That we could also again have it on the agenda in August. But it gives us a chance, and then that's when we have some more room for the public input. Or what do you think about that?
I agree with that. As long as we don't imply that in June we're making a decision, I think that's a slippery slope without adequate public discussion. That's my position on that.
Got it.
So, Commissioner McIsaac, on that point.
Commissioner McIsaac.
So we've got a request here for a fishery this year, and obviously August would mean that the answer would be no. Because it's beyond the summer Chinook time frame. In September, we're scheduled for getting to finality on the comprehensive review. And in August, we would get the last report from the staff on various questions and their perspectives on a comprehensive review. And that scheduling process that we've adopted goes from September, when the comprehensive review is completed, to then start entertaining changes in the plan afterwards. So I don't know what the summer Chinook agenda item in August would be. I think what I thought you were saying was in June we would have a decision about delegating to the director something, whether to look at it or think about it more or not. But that was the request, was should there or not be a fishery in 2018. And in August, that question is moot. So, Commissioner Caney, I'm just looking for a little more understanding of what you are proposing for August, that if it was for the long-term future, wouldn't be a September, November, and beyond discussion, maybe a little clarity on that. Because August is if you're not going to make a decision in June,
John, be quiet,
about this, then the answer is no. That's at least how I'm perceiving this. And I thought the consensus was to hear about a lot of things in June and make a decision there about what to delegate to the director.
Yes, Ms. Commissioner Caney. My original thoughts were in June, if we were to look at it in further detail, but we're not delegating to the director, delegating that authority to make a decision on this particular issue. We are directing the director to work with Oregon to see about alternatives, to see if there's a suggested path forward or a different path forward than we've thought of to this point. Having said that, I recognize that this is a request for this year's, a change in this year's fishing season for commercial fisheries, and I don't know if we can hold that over us. I mean, it's important to them, but what we're trying to get to is the correct path forward for the next few years, you know, and that may mean no action. That may mean a significant action. So as Larry says, I think that has to come before the public and for great input from a variety of folks. And that feeling of being rushed that we are going to make a decision in June, I don't like that myself either. It's just the timing. But it doesn't mean I think we can still carry our process forward that shows that we're looking at this, that we're taking in information, that if we make any decision, it's to direct the director to look at what Oregon's doing and what they think about it. But not a decision to make a change in June, which, yes, that does not meet the request of the one user group, but we have to take everything into account, I think. So any decision we would make might not come until August or September, which would be for next year's fishing season, and that's not the best, but it might be all we can put forward.
This is Commissioner Grayville, and
Commissioner Grayville.
I agree with Commissioner Caney. This is a large issue, and there are other factors too that involve this process. Let me just say initially that I agree with Commissioner Caney. We should not be considered to be under any pressure to come up with a decision for this year's season. We're not in a position to do that. Another thing, as we approach this comprehensive review of the policy, this timeline that we're operating under may be a little bit ambitious. There is going to be a review of the spring salmon allotment and catch balancing, and we have not reached that point yet, and it will have impact on the policy. And so we need to consider that before we dedicate ourselves to the current timeline that's proposed for policy review. I'm just making that comment now, and we can talk about that later. But I think we're kind of ahead of ourselves in terms of this comprehensive review, and we need to consider in front of the full commission what that timeline represents and what other factors and information need to be brought forward to do that accurately. But I'll just close with agreement with Commissioner Keeney, and also thank Commissioner Thornburn with the suggestion that we hear from the Upper Columbia regions on a decision about a summer run salmon season, not this year, but moving forward as we conduct this review of the policy. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Mr. Vice Chairman, Commissioner McIsaac again.
Commissioner McIsaac.
I guess I'm still not clear on the June situation. I fully understand Mr. Graybill's position, but I'm not sure that I understand Mr. Caney's position. Let me ask it this way. Mr. Graybill is saying that he agrees with Mr. Caney that there will be no decision in June made that would entail a possibility of a summer fishery in 2018. And originally, I thought, Commissioner Caney, your position was listen to all of it and alter the phraseology of delegating to the director to do something that kept it as an open question. And so when we went around the horn to the other commissioners, it was a pretty much of a split here with a 4-3 or a 3-4 however you want to count this. So I guess I'm back to a question for you, Commissioner Caney. Did you mean to keep the matter open in June as to whether or not there would be a fishery in 2018 or to close that opportunity?
Originally, I wanted to keep that opportunity open, but after listening to the other commissioners, I feel that the timing is such, we have a lot of input to bring in, and a decision at the June meeting that would have such a big effect, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's appropriate either to not look into it. If we had started this, for instance, in March, we might have been at a place in June to have made that decision. But I think we're starting it now, and we're saying, as I'm reading the description of what was written for us, was decision for the commission. Should this matter be placed in the June 14th commission meeting agenda? I think yes. Notice for public comment? Possibly, unless the time would be just not workable, and then it would just be a briefing, and public comment would occur at later meetings as we get more briefings. And a decision by the commission on whether to delegate to the director, I'm suggesting that we say we can make a decision to direct the director. If we're not giving the director the authority to make this decision, we want it to come back before us again. So, but we can say, yes, work with the Department of Oregon, Department of Fish and Wildlife, talk to them if they were willing to open a commercial fishing season, what would it look like? When would it be? If they're moving ahead now, maybe we're not moving ahead until next year, and that can create some problems. So I'm feeling what some of the commissioners have said is don't rush into this. It's appropriate to look at it, but so I guess my answer is I think a decision on this would have to come after more briefings on it, more work by the department, and connecting with the Oregon Fish and Wildlife to see where they're headed.
This is Commissioner Carpenter. I just want to be brief and reiterate that I think going forward too quickly is a very, very dangerous precedent to set. In all due respect to the commercial folks, we have to look at the big picture, and we have to work on rebuilding these stocks in any place we can get them, and more fish up to the upper reaches of the river. And I just think it would be a dangerous scenario to push for creating a new fishery this year. That's my position.
Well, the only thing I might add is, the commission makes a decision, we move forward with it. We have two commissioners that aren't here today, And so how this is noticed to the public is an important thing, whether or not it's open to a consideration or not.
I'd be suggesting that we have a briefing on this issue from staff at the June meeting and leave it at that. With the questions that we've asked today of staff and, you know, through the director if we have any further instructions, but I think just keep it as simple as that. It's not a decision. It's a, you know, the commission can decide whether, you know, we want to direct the department to talk to Oregon or, you know, the director could talk to Oregon. I mean, if we're not making that decision of changing seasons or of changing the plan in any shape or form in the June meeting. It's possible later, but not at this point. That'd be my suggestion.
Any additional comments in wrapping up this item?
Can Larry, this is Tammy. Can we go, yes, before we're done, can we just go through the June agenda one final time so I make sure I'm clear on what I'm removing?
Sure.
So Don suggested the moving one of the periodic status reviews to a Friday conference call. It's very difficult to do a public hearing on a conference call, so I don't recommend doing that. I heard that we'll remove the priority habitats species. Kim, that was your blue sheet. The electronic catch reporting systems, Larry, that was your blue sheet. The regional salmon recovery organizations, we'll remove that. And then we're going to add the Columbia River item that we've been discussing at least a couple of hours, and the hatchery items will be combined and probably at least a couple hours there, and adding public hearing on that. So probably all of Friday afternoon will be fish.
Can we move the hatchery reform and HSRG business to earlier in the day, say 10 o'clock?
Well, I'll look at that, Don. I mean, it kind of makes sense to keep all the other littler stuff in one spot rather than have 2 hours on fish and then go to four other items for 15 minutes apiece and then bring fish stuff back in for two more hours. But we'll look at it.
Fair enough. Okay. Any other questions, Tammy, on that area? In that area?
Was there anything we were going to add to the June 1st conference call?
I don't have anything yet, but I suspect something might pop up.
Okay, we'll leave it open, but at this time I have nothing for that call.
Thank you.
Perhaps we could look at blue sheet briefings on the conference calls, because they are briefings.
Sure.
If the commission would be willing, you know, because they are beginning to back up a little bit. I certainly agree that none of those that we're removing need to be on the June agenda, but just to kind of help with the fact that we're stacking up some commissioner requests might...
We have about 15 for August now.
Exactly.
Okay, I think that wraps up the future meeting planning discussion in my mind.